So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
After leaving sin, cleaning your life, you need to give yourself wholly to God. Now, this comes in about 5 different stages. The first is your commitment and dedication to do the will of God, even if it costs you your life. You know, you have your will, but God too has His will. Isaiah 53:6 says that we have turned everyone to his own will, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 55, verse 7 to 9, he says that let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. You see, the ungodly man his ways, and let them turn to me, because my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. Jesus came to this earth and he declared in John 4:34 that my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. In John 6:38, he said, I came from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. In John chapter 5, verse 19, he says, the Son cannot himself do nothing but what he sees the Father doing. Anything the Father does, the Son also does the same. John 5:30, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. In John chapter 8, verse 29, he says that the Father who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I do always the things which please him. And in Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, he said, Father, left to me alone, let this cup of suffering, let it pass by, but not my will, your will be done. He taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, we are told that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Hebrews 10, we are reading from verse 5 to verse 7.
It's Hebrews
10, 5 to 7. Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 10, 5 to 7. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire.
Sacrifice and offering you did not desire.
But a body you have prepared for me.
You know, some people think if you go to church and give a good offering, or you bribe God with money, then he will leave you alone. Say, sacrifice and offering God has not desired. Yes?
In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book is written of me, to do your will, O God.
To do your will. to do your will. Jesus Christ, he committed himself to do the will of God. And sometimes it costs you. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Well, you can start from verse 7. He says that in the days of Jesus' flesh, with loud cries and tears, Jesus prayed to God because he was able to save him. And he was heard because of his godly fear or reverence.
Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 7 to 9.
Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience through the things he suffered.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
There is some teaching going around in the country now that Jesus has suffered for us, so you don't need to suffer. Me, I no go suffer. I no go beg for bread. You see, it is from the stomach of the devil. Because it is giving us an impression that the Christian does not need to suffer because Jesus has suffered for him. It's wrong. The truth is that if doing the will of God leads you to suffering, to pain, to unpleasant circumstances, you have to go through it. Is somebody listening to me? The will of God is so important that if you have to do the will of God and suffer for it, you must be prepared. You should not dodge the will of God because you want to be comfortable. National service, you have been posted to Wale Wale, but your uncle can easily change it for you so that you can work with Standard Bank in Accra. You need to find if it is the will of God for you to go to Wale Wale rather than your connections and contacts to dodge the will of God. Is somebody with me? Jesus said that not my will, but your will be done. If going to the cross is your will, oh Father, then to the cross I go. No matter the suffering, the slaps, the spitting, the scourging, the nails, I am going to the cross because it is your will. That's consecration. You see, you consecrate yourself that I want to live my life to do the will of God, no matter what it costs me. Full stop. The teaching that a Christian does not have to suffer, should not be persecuted, because now we are in Christ, so we are so busy rejecting. For me, I reject it. I reject that. Say, hey, the postings have come. Oh, where am I? Say, Gushigu. What do you mean? I reject that in Jesus' name. You know, and there are some types of people, you see them, you go, I will never marry a pastor. No. How for me, I will never marry somebody shorter than me. Is he an Nzima? I will never marry an Nzima. Those types of things, you must tell yourself, I will never talk like that again. I am consecrating myself to the will of God. If it is God's will for me to marry an Nzima, so be it. So be it. If God wants me to be a minister, a pastor, a missionary, so be it. Are you listening? The verses I have quoted to you are to prove to you that Jesus came from heaven. But he did not say, I am going to do my will. He said, I came from heaven not to do my will, but the will of my Father who sent me. In fact, John 12, 48 to 50 is frightening. Jesus says that even the words I speak and how I speak them, my Father has given me commandment about it. I don't just talk by heart. When I'm talking, it's because God has asked me to say these things. That's why I'm saying them.
John chapter 12, verse 48 to 50. He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken,
yes,
will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority. But the Father who sent me gave me a command.
The Father who sent me gave me a command. What I should speak.
And I know that his command is everlasting life.
Yes.
Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak.
Look at this commitment. Is that not consecration? Eh? To decide that the whole of today, if God doesn't tell me anything, I won't talk. When I talk, that's because God says I should say that thing. And this is the way I should say it. That's why I said it that way. But many of us, our mouths are our own. No matter how much Holy Spirit anointing you receive, your mouth is your own. You say what you want. You crack the jokes you want. You know, then afterwards you come back and say, in Jesus' name. So the same mouth is bringing forth bad water and good water. You can't do that. Jesus committed himself to say exactly what his Father said he should say. To do exactly what his Father said he should do. Are you becoming afraid of consecration? You see, how many people think that even though it looks difficult, God is wiser than I am, therefore his will is better than my own will? How many people agree that God's will is better than, oh wow, okay, then I shouldn't labor to make the point. You are okay. You see, my wife, we have 4 girls, so when we moved into Accra, she came in for a master's program in Lagos, and then she realized she was pregnant. She said, Father, you have to abort this thing because I'm going to school. I shouldn't be pregnant now. Moreover, we have agreed that we shall have only 4 children soon enough. And when the child was born, it was a boy. He's the only boy we have. She forgave me all my sins. But it is a proof that God had better not answer some of our prayers. You see, it is in your own interest that God shouldn't answer some of your prayers. His will is the wisest. But it's not only that. The truth is that John 15:5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Psalm 127 verse 1 and 2 say, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many devices in the heart of man, but the counsel of God that shall stand. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 30 and 31 say, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can prevail against God. The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from God. There are many things you set up to do, your will, but God knows that the end is nonsense. You see, there are many, many times when you think that this is very wise, my way is smart, but God knows the end thereof is death. So it is in your own interest right now that you are youth to take a decision that I would rather struggle and do God's will than be allowed to go my own way. You see, those of you who have taken decisions that for me, I'll never marry an away girl. For me, never, never. You better drop that here. The will of God is more important than your tribal prejudice. Are you with me?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So that's the first area I I will be calling for you to dedicate yourself, consecrate yourself to do God's will. Even if it costs you your life. I remember Acts chapter 21. You can read verse 13 and 14 for us. You see, there were so many prophecies that Paul should not go to Jerusalem. You see, and the Agabus came from Jerusalem, took Paul's belt, tied himself and said, "That says the Spirit of God, the man whose belt this is, then when he goes to Jerusalem, the Jews will bind him up and imprison him and you suffer." Then all the believers started weeping, "Paul, don't go to Jerusalem, Paul, don't go." Then Paul said, "Why are you weeping, breaking my heart? I'm prepared to go to Jerusalem, not only to be bound for the sake of Christ, but to die." And when he said that, he said, "The will of the Lord be done." Sometimes, God's will is that you should suffer. But out of that suffering will come something which you can never get any other way. Have you found it? Acts 21, 13 and 14.
Acts chapter 21, verses 13 and 14. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking your heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when they would not be persuaded, we cease saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'"
The second area of consecration I want to put to you is that your character will be like that of Jesus Christ. When God created man, he wanted man to be in his image and his likeness and his character. That's why he made man in his image. But even after Adam failed him, he sent Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says that those whom God foreknew, he predestined that they should be conformed to the image of his son, so that Jesus will be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 2 and 3, he says that when Jesus comes and we see him, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, "We all with unveiled and open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being changed into the same image from one degree of glory to another by the Spirit." Galatians 4:19, he says, "My little children, in whom I travail till Christ be formed in you." Philippians 1:21, he says, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Philippians 3 from 7 to 12, he says, "The things that were gain to me, I counted them loss for the sake of Jesus Christ, and for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus as my Lord, I count all things as rubbish, dung, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and share in his sufferings, and be made conformable to his death." 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21 to 23, he says, "This is the reason you have been called. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he did not insult back, and when he suffered, he threatened no one, but committed his case to the righteous judge." Colossians chapter 1 verse 28, it says, "Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we can present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11 all the way to 13, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for perfecting, preparing, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and for edifying the body of Christ, till we all attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we be no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine." The master plan of God for your life is that you should look like Jesus. This is why Jesus said in John 14:12 that "the works I do, you will do also. Greater works than this, because I'm going to the Father." 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17, we are one spirit with Christ. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. You know, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, when he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we be holy and blameless in his sight. So, the lifetime pursuit of trying to be like Jesus by the grace which God gives. Because is it John 20:21? He said, just as the Father has sent me, in the same way I send you. He can't send us the same way if there is no grace for us to be like Jesus. Amen? So that's the second area of commitment and consecration. The third area is the fullness and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself was born of the Spirit. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 and 20, we are told that the Spirit of God came upon Virgin Mary before she brought forth Jesus. Is that not the Christmas story? How many people know that Jesus, his mother was a human being, Mary, but he has no earthly father? It's the Spirit of God which came upon him before Jesus was born. If you know the story, let me see your hand. Great. Okay. Now, if Jesus was born of the Spirit and you want to be like Jesus without the Holy Spirit, will you succeed? You will fail successfully. You see? Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 and Luke chapter 4 verse 1, he says Jesus, full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Luke 4:14, he says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, the Bible says Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Matthew 12:28, he says that I cast out evil spirits by the Holy Spirit. The truth is that everything Jesus did, he did because he was filled, he was baptized, he was anointed, soaked with the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit. Even before he was born, Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2 says that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of God will rest upon him. Therefore, to try to be a Christian without the infilling, the fullness of the Holy Spirit and his leadership, you will fail. You can't do it. You need more of the Spirit of God filling your life, soaking every cell in your life. You need to learn how to respond to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, how to be sensitive to where God's Spirit is moving, so that he will tell you left, right, and you will move with him. Then he can carry you through this world successfully. Hallelujah. And Romans chapter 8 has very interesting verses on the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says that the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You see? And Romans 8:13 says that it is only by the Holy Spirit that you can put to death the lusts of the flesh that are troubling you. And what Romans 8:26, 27 says, we don't even know how to pray, but the Spirit helps our infirmities. With loud groans, cries. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. In Romans chapter 8 verse 16-17, he says, when we cry, Abba Father, it is the Spirit of God who is bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Provided we suffer with him, that we might also reign with him. You need your life must show what we call the fruit of the spirit, the character of the spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. You see? Love. Supernatural love. How to love your enemies. Of your own, you can't do that. You need the fruit of the spirit to love the unlovable. Peace with God. Peace with yourself. Peace with others. In the peace of God which passes all understanding. These are the reasons why Americans, Canadians, Japanese, a lot of them, they have money, but they are committing suicide because they are not at peace. They don't have the peace of God. That comes by the Spirit of God. John 16:33. He says that peace I give to you. The peace which this world cannot give. You know, in the world you have tribulation and trouble, but in me you have peace and joy. You see, not artificial joy, but everlasting joy. And then long suffering, patience. You need it. So that when you are driving, you will be insulting people left and right. And you need goodness. These days, people just are bad. Some of the things they do are not even written in the Bible. You see, they have invented things. I think my wife was telling us yesterday, the person who invented this condom, the philosophy behind it was sex without pregnancy. Now there's a new invention. That's pregnancy without sex. So that at leisure you can take your egg as a woman or your sperm as a man and freeze it, and then it can be used to impregnate, you know, an egg from somewhere, and you can have a baby as a homosexual or a gay in your home. That's where we are now. You see, inventors of evil things. There are new bad things on the scene which, if you are not basically good, you will fall into them. You see? So you need the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. But it is not only the character of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 7 to 11 talks about the manifestation of the Spirit. It means if the Holy Spirit is in you, he must show some powerful works. Words of wisdom, meaning God's wisdom will flow through you supernaturally, because he will give you ideas which, is it George Washington Carver? 300, he himself alone discovered 300 different ways of using the peanut, and all are patented. And he said that it's by the Spirit of God. But when he goes to write out those things, he makes sure he puts all research books aside so that it will be God who is revealing it to him. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You see, knowing things which ordinarily, like Pharaoh's dream. How could Joseph interpret it? Supernatural knowledge. And we need discerning of spirits. Some people are passing by and you see spirit of witchcraft on their shoulders. You see? Or you see a big snake wrapped around their waist. Recently, one of the articles my son read, he was telling us, is a lady who says that she must have sex with 7 people every day before she sleeps. And that, you know, it's just in her. So she wakes up each day searching for 7 men so that she can have sex with them. And I myself read one in California, one of the sex orgies. A girl who, you know, opened herself up for sex 24 hours. Men slept with her non-stop. You know, this is the world we live in now. So you need discerning of spirits by the Holy Spirit to know that such a girl, when she's smiling, is because you are the 6th boy who should sleep with her that day. You see? Meanwhile, you think you are falling in love, but you are sleeping with a snake. And then workings of miracles. You see, we need people these days. Look at Elisha. The axe head, iron axe head, fell into water. And he asked, where did it fall? And they showed him. So he broke a piece of stick and put it there. And the axe floated. Iron floated on water to hook itself onto wood. And they picked it. You know, you can actually go walk on the sea and pick submarines. This is the time we are living in. The workings of miracles. You should be able to say, and you are in Johannesburg. Yes. You see? You say, oh, and you are in Oslo. You say, ah, and you are in London. No visa. No visa. You see? What about Philip in Acts chapter 8? After he baptized the Ethiopian, you know, the Spirit of God took him away and nobody could see him again. He appeared in Azotus. You see? Look at Peter. There were so many sick people, he couldn't pray for all of them. So when the sun was shining, they put sick people, laid them in couches and beds in the street, hot day. And as he passed by, his shadow fell on them. And as many people as Peter's shadow fell on, they were all healed. Acts chapter 5, from verse 14 to 17. You see, how does it feel like? You pass through Aido, a cemetery, and all the sick, the dead people wake up and follow you. You know? Yeah. Because they were going to bury a dead man in Elisha's grave. And Elisha was already dead and his bones were there. But when they threw the dead man into the grave, he touched the dead man's bones. And the dead man got up and followed them. You see? A dead man's dead bones raised the dead. That means anointing upon a human being can rest in the grave even after you are dead. You see? Why should a Christian be afraid of witches? My shoe here can cast out demons. Why? Because it carries anointing. If somebody's shadow can carry anointing. Acts 19, 11 and 12. He says God did special miracles by the hands of Paul. That handkerchiefs and aprons from Paul's body were sent far away to the sick. And as many people as were touched by those handkerchiefs and aprons, the sicknesses left them. The unclean spirits left. It means every human being can dedicate himself and consecrate yourself to God in such a way that your hair, your spittle, your shadow, your clothing, every part of you can carry power of God. You see, we are not hungry after these things. We are more hungry after pornography. You see, because our lives are cheap. We feel that those are the big things. You see, you feel those are the big things to be watching love videos and those things. They are the big things of life. Meanwhile, Jesus spat on the floor, made clay, and rubbed the eyes of somebody born blind. He went and washed and was seen. You see, the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. He said, if I touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be healed. She touched and she was healed. That woman had gone to doctors until she was tired. All her money was gone. But she just touched the hem of Jesus and she was healed. Cancers, ulcers, all these incurable sicknesses, go to the doctors, they operate upon you 7-8 times and the thing is still growing. It's because the church of God is sick. We are not hungry and thirsty to get up and stand up and be such that when someone has an ulcer, someone has a cancer, and you get there and touch the person is healed. Because you have dedicated your life to God in such a way that He can use you as a vessel. You see, He said in Acts chapter 2 from verse 14 to 16 to 18 that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men, they shall see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Handmaidens, men servants, I will pour out of my spirit upon them. You will see wonders and signs, blood and smoke in the sky. It shall come to pass, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we don't want to dedicate ourselves to these things because we have got small besetting sins we are so happy with. We don't value the power of God. Why? Meanwhile, Satan is increasing in his works. Do you understand? The devil is not waiting for us. Satan and his agents, they are moving up. They are moving up. They are doing all types of things now. You know, This Rumi who competed with President Obama. Say he's a Mormon. Eh? There are so many people working as agents for different groups. Look at what's his name? This Muslim fundamentalist. Eh? Prepared suicide bombers, prepared to blow themselves up and kill everybody on a plane because they believe in the fact that when they blow you up and die, they go to heaven, they get 72 virgins to have sex with at once. You know, they've been taught that when you are a suicide bomber, you go to heaven straight. You see, they are prepared to die for a lie. The Christian is not prepared to die for the truth. What is happening? You see, we should consecrate ourselves so that God can use our lives. God can use you. He can use you in your school, in your establishment, wherever you are. You see, the hand of the... Look at Joseph. Eh? Young man. He was 17 when he left his father and mother and went to a strange country. You see? But even in the prison, his spiritual gifts were... When the chief baker and chief butler had a dream and he interpreted for them, it was... You see, so the chief butler left. 2 years he forgot him. Then Pharaoh himself had a dream. Then he said, I remember my sins today. A certain young Hebrew boy in prison interpreted my... Hey, for him there, no dolly. If he interprets for you, it's power. That day they went and called Joseph from prison. Hastily shaved him, removed his filthy clothes, and brought the senior prefect of the prisoners out. And rushed him to Pharaoh's presence. And Pharaoh said, I have had a dream. I hear when you hear dreams, you interpret. So, but when I was in prison, I lost that spiritual gift. He didn't say that. He's in prison, but he's back. You see, some of you are on fire in school because you are executive of SU. When you come home, zero. Some of you two at home, you are angels. When you go to school, you have all types of nicknames. You see? There you are. But here is Joseph. You see? In the house of Potiphar, he was correct. In the house, in the prison, he was correct. So when they brought him out before Pharaoh, he interpreted the dream. And for 14 years, his dream was correct. That's it. That's it. So we can dedicate ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And He will use you. He will use you. He will, because He's searching for people to use. You know? Is it Psalm 12 verse 1? He said, help Lord, because the godly fail. Faithful people cease from the earth. Proverbs 20 verse 6. He says that many people proclaim their own faithfulness, but a faithful man who can find? They are not there. You see, Ezekiel 22, from verse 29 to 30. He said, I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap before me. I found none. Jeremiah 5:1. He said, go through the streets of Jerusalem, up and down. If you find one righteous man, I will spare the whole city because of them. You see, God told Abraham, you are pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah. If I find 10 righteous men in that city, I will spare it. He didn't find. You see? Everybody now is a trophy mango because you see them coming to church, but they are hooked and enslaved in one way or the other, some pet sin or the other. So God takes this one, He can't use. He takes this one, He can't use. He takes this one, He can't use, because they are all punctured. You see. Therefore, when I finish my sermon, I'm going to call for people who want to consecrate themselves and their lives to the Lord. Another area of consecration I am really searching for is people who commit themselves to make disciples of all nations until the whole world is evangelized. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 24:14 that this gospel of the kingdom, it will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. That's what He said. You see, and when God expresses His desire, human beings carry it out. When God wanted to take people out of Egypt, it's Moses He got. When God wanted to build the tabernacle, it's Bezalel and Oholiab. Eh? Those are the people who did the job. When God wanted to lead people into Canaan, it was Joshua. God wanted to rebuild the walls of Jericho. It was Nehemiah. God wanted to save the Jews from being killed. It was Mordecai and Esther. God uses people who use their will to say, I will do it. When God wanted to build the temple, it was Solomon he used. Somebody, a human being, must say that for me, I'm set apart, I'm dedicated and consecrated to make sure that every human being hears that Jesus has come to die on the cross. That's my work on this earth. I'll do it and die. That's it. We need people who dedicate themselves to that. We need people who consecrate themselves to that work. Hallelujah. And the final part I want a consecration in is the main reason God sent you to this earth. The calling of God upon your life. I want people who will dedicate themselves that I will finish that call. Because he says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Colossians 4:17, he says, tell Archippus to finish his ministry. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And to me now is laid up the crown of righteousness. You know? There is a call of God upon your life. There is a reason why God laid hold of you and bought you with the blood of his son. He said in John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, oh, I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, that your fruit will abide. There is a reason why God picked you out of your family, why God picked you out of your school. There is a reason why he chose you. And you must find that and develop the gift and calling and finish the call for God. And today, if you are here, you want to consecrate yourself to God. Those are the five areas I want to present to you. Hallelujah. And when I invite people forward, I don't just want anybody to come. Then you also touch your friend. They are going. Let's go. I don't want you to do that. Anyone who is sleeping, let him sleep. Anyone who is dozing, let him doze. I'm not saying this of my own. No, it's in the Bible. Is it not in, can you read for us, Revelation chapter 12? What did I say? Revelation 22. Sorry, 22, verse 11 and 12.
Revelation 22, verse 11 and 12.
Yes.
He who is unjust, let him be unjust still.
He who is unjust. You know, this is the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And God is tired of telling people to change. And he says, if you are unjust, keep on being unjust. Yes?
He who is full, let him be full still.
Anyone who is filthy, let him be filthy still.
He who is righteous, let him be righteous still.
Anyone who is righteous, let him be righteous still.
Anyone who is holy, let him be holy still.
Anyone who is holy, be holy still.
And behold, I am coming quickly.
I am coming quickly.
And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his will.
So this camp, you have to take a decision. Number one area of consecration is the will of God. You are going to say, if you are coming forward, you are going to tell God that from today, I want to tell you, Father, that I'm dedicating myself to do your will all the days of my life. I will struggle to do your will. No matter what it costs me, I will struggle to find your will to do it. Period. Another group, or yourself, you the same person, you can walk here and say, for me, all my life, I want to struggle to be like Jesus Christ, no matter what it costs me. They are all basically the same. It's just that, you know, depending on where your understanding is, I want to live like Jesus. The things Jesus did not like, I wouldn't like them. The things he liked, I would like them. I will try to pray like Jesus. I will master my Bible like Jesus. I will walk with the Holy Spirit like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Another set will come up and say, for me, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit to manifest in my life. That's what I'm consecrating myself to. Then group 4 will say, for me, I want to consecrate myself to making disciples until everybody in this world has heard the gospel. I want to dedicate myself to that. That's my purpose. And then, whatever it involves, whatever it involves, then the last set will be that, well, for me, I understand that God wants me to be an evangelist. God wants me to be a Bible teacher. God wants me to be, a prophet. God wants me to be anything. As I read the Bible, I sense that this is what God is calling me to be. And today, at this youth camp, the retreat, I want to consecrate myself to the purposes of God. God, you're calling upon me in life. I want to consecrate myself and do it and die in it. Is there any question? Anybody has a question? Before we come up. Now, how many people here sense that, you know, one of the things they want to commit themselves to is doing God's will, no matter what it costs them? Just as Jesus did, you want to do God's will. Let me see your hand. Okay, please put down your hands. Don't worry, you can vote many times. Yeah. How many people feel called to be part of finishing this task of evangelizing the world? You feel that God, you are part, that's the part which God speaks to you about. You want to be part of those who make disciples and make sure that people hear the gospel. Okay, God bless you. How many people really want to be like Jesus? You really want to live your life to be like Jesus? Okay, I believe you, because you are your vote is your power. And then, how many people know that God is calling them to do some special work for them in life? God is calling you to do something for Him in life. Know that God has a call upon your life, and you are interested in fulfilling that call. Okay. And finally, for you, you like the Holy Spirit. Everything about the Holy Spirit, His filling, His gifts, His fullness, His fruit. You want to swim in the Holy Spirit. You want to be baptized and soaked and drenched in the Holy Spirit. You want your whole life to be controlled by God's Spirit. Okay. Now, I have a case on my hands. Yeah. We are all going to do it en masse. That means we are not going to be able to touch everybody. But we are not God. His Spirit is here. His Spirit is here. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She was in the crowd and she said, if I touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be healed. It wasn't Jesus' faith which healed that woman. It was the woman's faith. So one of the ways of getting things from God is your own faith. Is that okay? Yeah. Then number 2 is the faith of the preacher or the people praying for you. So like Lazarus, he was dead and Jesus raised him. So it's not Lazarus' faith which raised him from the dead. It's Jesus'. Is that okay? So that's number 2. Number 3 is the faith environment. You know, family, friends. Mark 2:4, for example, Bible says those guys who broke the roof and brought their paralytic before Jesus, He says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven. So the atmosphere of faith also releases a lot of God's power and anointing. And there is the supernatural move of God also, for that matter. But I can assure you that your faith can release things for you beyond any human being. Do you understand? What anointing oil did God use before Lazarus rose from the dead? Did he pour anointing oil on the grave? You don't remember? He just said, Lazarus, come forth. You see? And do you remember that centurion whose servant was sick? Jesus was saying, oh, I'll come and heal him. And he said, what? Master, you are coming to my house. No, I'm not waiting for you to come. Yeah, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Because I'm a captain, I'm a man under authority. I said to your servant, go. So you two speak. And Jesus spoke, and the guy was healed in the house. Look at the Syrophoenician woman. Her daughter was sick, demonized in the house. But the mother came and Jesus said, we don't take bread and give to dogs in this place. She said, I'm a dog. But the crumbs which fall down, I'm not asking for bread, I'm asking for crumbs. Jesus said, wait, woman, great is your faith. For this saying, your daughter is healed. When she went back, her daughter was healed at home. So you can be at the corner of this room, but the Spirit of God can touch you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you can receive from God some gifts from this place the whole of your life. That will be what will catapult you to the place you should be.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Those gifts which made Daniel, Joseph, rise up to prominence.
Amen.
They are gifts of grace that God pours out. You don't merit them. You don't deserve them. It's called grace because it is given to people who don't deserve them. So that you cannot boast. You can only say, this is God. It's God who gave it to me. Shall we be on our feet? I'll give you a minute or two to decide in the presence of God which gift you want from God. Tell him that, today I want the gift of healing. Today I want the working of miracles. Today I want the word of wisdom. Tell him which gift you want. After you have decided which gift you want, prophecy or what, go and find three people who are your friends and tell them that today my faith is receiving working of miracles, gift of healing, speaking in tongues. Today my faith is receiving that. Go tell three people. When you tell them, come back to your place before we pray, so that you will be clear in your mind what you want from God, so that when he gives it to you, you will know. Is that okay? Please take a minute. Probably you are not sure. Tell Holy Spirit that this is what I want. If it is not your will, change it quickly, because I'm going to tell other people. Yes. You have a minute or two. Please, the Holy Spirit is here. And all I'm going to do is, you will lift up your hands and say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
you bought me with your blood.
You bought me with your blood.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
I yield myself to you.
I yield myself to you.
All I am.
All I am.
All I have.
All I have.
I dedicate myself to you.
I dedicate myself to you.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come in your fullness.
Come in your fullness.
Come and fill me.
Come and fill me.
Come and anoint me.
Come and anoint me.
Come and take hold of my life.
Come and take hold of my life.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Come.
Come.
Yes. Yes. Receive him. Yes. Yes. He is filling you now. Yes. please listen carefully. You have looked through your life since we started this morning, and in the presence of God, you want to take a decision that for the rest of your life, you want to dedicate your life to be like Jesus, to do God's will. To do God's will. Make sure that the reason He sent you into this world, you want to finish it. Think about it carefully. If you think you are ready to consecrate yourself, then you can be on your feet. Think about it carefully. Please sit down. Too many people are standing. Please sit down. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that the sins we talked about, which you left this morning, you are not going back to them. I'm saying that you have taken a decision personally that from this retreat there's going to be a change in your lifestyle. You are saying before God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that give me grace. From today, I want to struggle to be like Jesus. I want to do your will, no matter what it costs me. And I'm taking a decision that the reason you sent me to this earth, I will try to finish that work before I die. I want to live for you. And the decision I've taken, I'm consecrating myself. That's why I'm standing here. It's not everybody who should stand up. If you have thought about it and you think that no, when we close from here, we are going back to some of the sins, don't get up. Make up your mind carefully, because when you stand up, we are going to touch you with the anointing oil and declare that it's a decision you have taken for God, for better, for worse. Do you understand? Don't get up because your friend got up. Get up because God has been dealing with you personally. It's a solemn moment. It's between you and God. We are only agents. And when we touch you with the anointing oil, we are telling you that we are witnesses on behalf of heaven that today you have consecrated yourself to the purposes of God. Please lift up your hand and say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I consecrate myself to the purposes of God, to struggle to be Christ-like, to do God's will, no matter what it costs me, and finish the work God sent me to do. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Put grace on my life to finish well. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Put grace upon my life to finish well. In Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this session. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But you have revealed them to us by your Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube, and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.